there's a lot of grumpy looks, you know, but the eyes look like they're smiling. Reminds me of that Irish song, "When Irish Eyes Are Smiling." I think so. Who knows? If you're not Irish, you wouldn't know that song. So, but no, nonetheless, I just wanted to say it is good to be back to North Carolina after being away for a while. Marge and I missed 4 consecutive Sundays, and that's a long time. And here we are today. We'll be gone next Sunday and the Sunday after that. I'm sorry. But we're trying to redeem the time while we are here. I have a couple of encouraging letters I would like to read to you all first. Fairbluff Bible Chapel has a college scholarship called the Salt and Light Scholarship. And it is, people have to apply for the scholarship. If they are going to an approved Christian college or university, and there are certain requirements that they need to fulfill, and in doing so, we give them, to encourage them, to build them up in the faith, a scholarship. And it's renewable as long as requirements are kept. And one thing that we are encouraged about is getting thank you letters from the recipients of the scholarship. You know, one of the signs, one of the evidences of being in the last days is that people are not thankful. But we find that those who have received the scholarships are thankful. And I would like to read some of the brief letters that we have received. First from Amy Hansen, I'd like to read the following. And Amy attends Emmaus Bible College. She is doing well. She is an RA on campus. That means that she is responsible for a dorm floor of other young ladies who are studying at Emmaus. And Leslie is studying counseling psychology and Bible. So she has a double major. And she says, "Dear Fairbluff family, hello from Emmaus. We're almost a month into the semester, and I wanted to take a break from my schoolwork and say, hi, hope all is going well. So far, for me, I'm loving my classes, especially Life of Christ and Abnormal Psychology." Marge would say that would be the study of people like me. But she didn't write that in the letter, so I'm just saying. "More than that, though, I love all the girls on my floor and am really enjoying getting to know them. It's already so encouraging to see them, especially the freshmen, think through and process everything they're learning in class and then how to live it out in their personal lives. None of this would be possible without you all praying for me and the other students here, and also for the scholarship you all have so kindly given. Thank you so much. Love and blessings, Amy." Pray for Amy. Pray for Caleb Funk. Pray for Leslie Maldonado. They are our 3 recipients of the Salt and Light Scholarship. This letter from Caleb Funk, who is a freshman at Pensacola Christian College in Florida. He says, "Dear members of Fairbluff Bible Chapel," I think he wasn't quite sure how to address the beginning, but I think that's fine. "Thank you for approving me for the Salt and Light College Scholarship. I'm encouraged knowing that the church that I go to wants to help push me forward into my next step in life. The money given to me is not a gift that I will soon forget. The church that I'm attending while at college will be the on-campus church. The name of the church is Campus Church. We meet every Sunday morning and Wednesday evening. We also have chapel time every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, where we have a few announcements, sing a couple of songs, and receive a short passage. The church offers many opportunities to do Christian services around the community. Collegians also make sure that students are participating in other acts of service as well. Unfortunately, due to COVID-19, collegian activities have been mostly canceled, but as soon as COVID numbers go down, things will go back to normal. I have been doing well in my classes and enjoyed being in church. My classes have kept me busy, but so far, it's nothing I can't handle. COVID is currently messing with schedules and group meetings, but hopefully things will calm down soon. Once again, I want to thank the fellowship for approving me for the Salt and Light College Scholarship. Thank you, Caleb. Aren't you encouraged hearing letters like this? You know, like you've invested, this assembly has invested in the lives of young people. Leslie Maldonado, I'm saving this for the last. I really appreciate Leslie very much. The end of October, I will be going to a board meeting at the college, and I'm expecting to see Leslie. I get good reports from faculty members up there. That's one of the benefits of being on the Board of Trustees. So I try to find out exactly how she's doing. Amy Hansen too, but those girls are excelling. And this is what Leslie says. Dear Fairbluff family, I wanted to express my thankfulness once again for all the financial help that you have given me for this school year. She is a second year student. She is studying nursing and will also be getting a degree in Bible. Your help and contribution means so much to me. This semester has been filled with so much joy, excitement, but most importantly, it's been filled with growth. I am constantly being filled with amazing friends, teachers, and staff every single day. I am so thankful for the Lord's perfect orchestration that has been brought to my life as I am here at Emmaus. Through the highs and lows, the Lord remains so faithful and so good. This life and these people the Lord has given to me, so thankful. This semester has been a semester of many changes. Through the changes and difficulties, I am celebrating the cracks in my plans and the beauty of a life where God is sovereign over it all. I have been incredibly humbled by this truth. He knows what I need more than I do. This semester has been pretty busy with working in the kitchen, juggling 5 classes, and working with the yearbook team. This year, I have been given one of the co-editor positions for the yearbook, which is where I will get most of my SLT, which is servant leadership training, hours. I have been loving it so far, and am very excited to continue to do work with the team. I am attending Arbor Oaks Bible Chapel when I am here at Emmaus. I'm pretty sure that Amy Deligdish went to Arbor Oaks while she was there. So did Jan. I think that when Carrie was there, I think she went to Great Adventure, which is another assembly. another one, ACC. There's about four assemblies in the Dubuque area. I absolutely love my Arbor Oaks family. They are such an encouragement and a joy. I will also be working in the nursery at Arbor Oaks soon, which is something I'm looking forward to. I am so thankful for all of your kind and encouraging hearts, and I am looking forward to seeing you all in November. In Christ, Leslie. So, good letters. I get pumped up, and I think that it's been an encouragement hearing what these young people are going through as they are away at a Christian college and university. They really are learning an awful lot, and what's really important, I think, is what challenging days we are all living in, and it's really important not only to prepare for life, but also, you know, like really taking a deep plunge in the Word of God by going to a Christian college or university that is true to the Word of God. Not all Christian colleges and universities can make that claim today. There have been a lot of colleges and universities, Christian colleges, that have drifted. For a word of encouragement this morning, would you please turn in your Bible to Psalm 3. Psalm 3. If I were to have asked you to turn to one of the minor prophets, there would be groans in the audience and people would be singing the Bible, let's see, Genesis, Exodus, you know, like it takes a long time to get to the minor prophets and get those right, but Psalms is in the middle of the Bible and you don't have to dig very far. We're looking at Psalm 3. Why Psalm 3? I believe that you're going to find in this very simple and short psalm that this is a psalm of confidence. It's a psalm of confidence. It's a psalm of trust. And it's appropriate for today. If we were to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I don't want you to turn there, but we remind ourselves how it says that all scripture is very profitable for us in many different areas of life. Psalms is a hymn book. It's a book of poetry. I can remember once Rex Trogdon said it is a hymn book, H-I-M. It's all about him. But it also is a good way for us to reflect and worship on God's faithfulness and care and provision for each and every one of us. Now, this particular psalm was written by David. It says, maybe if you have your Bible open, you can see that it even says that in the subscript. It was written by David after he was going through a real rough time with one of his children, Absalom. There was civil war going on. David was being deposed as the king by his son, Absalom. And just to kind of like get to the point, if we were to read 2 Samuel, and we understand that David had committed a horrible sin when he took Uriah the Hittite's wife, Bathsheba, and in an adulterous relationship with her, she became pregnant, and to try to cover this up, David wound up murdering Uriah. Nathan came and said to David after this had happened, David, you know, you're going to pay quite a price for this particular sin. You know, like there's going to be quite a division in your family, in your household. And it seems that Nathan's words of prophecy comes true, because Absalom had killed one of his other brothers who had, what a dysfunctional family, who had raped, you know, like his half-sister. And Absalom killed that brother of his. And now, I mean, after being in exile, Absalom comes back and he has, just to get to the point, he has raised up an army against David, and David is running for his life. Running for his life. You know, like I just wonder what's going on in our lives. I mean, certainly the application and the interpretation of this psalm best fits the situation that we see in David's life. But I would suggest that just about everyone here this morning can think of and situations and problems and attacks and things that are going on in your life or in the life of your family. And you may very well this morning be shaken to the core and just wondering, my goodness, does God know? Does he care? Can he provide? What can he do? And so you can understand that David is distraught and he puts down his thoughts under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in this particular psalm, which is also called a morning psalm. Morning as far as early in the morning, I will call on the name of the Lord. And I will expect in a confident and a trustful way that he will provide and he will care for me. Psalm 4 is an evening psalm or an evening prayer. But we're not going to look at that this morning. But think about this as we read these words. 8 words. O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain, Selah. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Rise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have smitten all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people. Selah. Nation of Israel, it seems, had really turned against David. They had run under the banner of Absalom. And David, he was really in deep weeds, so to speak. He was running for his life. He had a small band of followers. Absalom, the idea here about thousands of people, where you could see that in verse 6. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. In one of the verses in 2 Samuel, it seemed that Absalom's army was more than the sand on the sea. It was huge. Have you felt overwhelmed by problems in your life? By situations? Have you ever felt that you jumped into the deep end of the pool without your swimmies on? And you're kind of like, everything is just covering up. Well, David says, my adversaries, or my enemies, or my troubles, they seem to be insurmountable. Many are rising up against me. And then to make matters worse, and maybe to make matters worse for you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, people mock you, and they just say, There is no deliverance for you in God. Come on, be serious about it. How many people do you know who even doubt whether or not there is a God at all, let alone a God for you, let alone a God who knows everything about you and will provide for you and will care for you? You ever feel that way? Because you hear other people taunt and say things like that? Well, that's what people were saying to David. You might remember the man, Shimei, if I said his name right, who was cursing at God. You're getting what you deserve. You're a man of blood. God's not going to help you. Look what you have done. You deserve everything that's going on in your life right now. Well, that's not how it is for us. We have confidence in God. He has given us promises. He says, I will never leave you. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You are mine. I paid a price for you. Verse 3 is kind of interesting. This is what David said, and I know that, Big Josh, when you got up and you mentioned something about the shield of protection in Ephesians chapter 6 this morning, you just mentioned that, didn't you? A shield of faith. Hold that up because you can ward off all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And I have always understood that to be a shield. You hold it up in front. And I've heard people say, well, it's a frontal shield for frontal attacks. That's how the enemy attacks. And that means, you know, you don't retreat. You never turn your back and run because then you're wide open to an attack. But look what I found interesting in this verse. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me. That word about or around me, I think, is pretty significant. It's like you have been encased in armor or you're in a bubble. No matter where the attacks are going to come from, you are protected. In Greek mythology, there was a demigod named Achilles. You know, like he was dipped in a river at birth, but I guess his mother held him by the heel so that did not get covered with this mystical water, and so he wound up getting struck down because of that one area that was unprotected, his Achilles heel. I guess that's why we have an Achilles tendon to this day. No, don't take that to the bank. But anyway, God's protection is a shield all around us. No matter where the enemy or where the attacks come from, even attacks of discouragement. Have you ever been discouraged? You know, like, God can protect us even from times and moments of discouragement. We find also that it says in verse 3 that not only will God protect David, and he will protect you, and he will protect us, but it's God's glory that also surrounds us. God's glory, that is amazing. God's glory is his overwhelming presence, and God's overwhelming presence is something that impresses us and it scares the daylights out of the wicked. I think that Stephen Lee in worship this morning just reminded us about God's glory. God's presence causes people, even righteous people, to fall down in reverential awe. But David knows that he's going to really be protected. God has surrounded him with protection. He has surrounded him with his glory, and it is God who is going to lift up his head. David knew he was going to be restored somehow by God, who really is the one true king of Israel. God will restore you if your trust and God's will is wherever it should be. God is going to allow what he wants to happen in your life to happen. Leslie Maldonado, in her letter this morning, said, you know, there have been some cracks in my plans. There have been some challenges that she's had to face. But she also has seen that they are for her own good. God is in control. That's really what she's saying in the letter. God is in control. He's going to get me through it, and he's going to make me stronger because of the challenges that she's going through. What type of challenges would Leslie have? I would think time management could be one of them. She's working in the kitchen, yearbook, classes, this, that, going to church. A lot of things going on. Just to wrap this up, David says he was crying to the Lord with his voice. Crying to the Lord with voice. In 2 Samuel, he was crying and the people with him were just weeping. They just felt really under heavy attack. You know, the nation of Israel, sometimes they would go out to battle and they would take the Ark of the Covenant. They thought that that was more than a lucky charm. It represented the presence of God. You know what David had done around the time that he was writing the psalm? He sent the Ark back to Jerusalem. The Ark was not going to be with him. And yet Absalom was on the attack. David knew that God knows what's going on. God can hear prayer. We don't have to go and face a certain direction when we pray, like another major religion. We don't have to carry around lucky charms in our pockets when we ask for protection. God is always with us, and when we pray to him, we know that he hears us. It is important for us to keep short accounts with God, confess our sins, as it says in 1 John, he is faithful. He will restore us to the right fellowship with him, and he wants to care for us. And that's what we see here. David says he laid down to sleep, and he awoke. Even though he was going through a horrible time, he slept well at night. Do you have a restless time when you sleep? Do you wake up because you're consumed with all the problems that you're facing? Psalm 127, verse 2 says, he gives his beloved rest. And in Psalm 4, verse 8, there is another interesting phrase. It says, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord. Verse 8 of Psalm 4, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Commit your problems, your concerns, your worries, your issues to the Lord. Never lose fact or sight of the fact that he loves you. He loves you more than you can even understand. And he's praying for you. The Lord prayed for Peter, we read in the Gospels. How did he pray for Peter? Peter was going to be going through attack. You're going through attacks. Many of you, I know you're going through attacks. Peter was going through attacks. The Lord told Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, Peter. I have prayed that your faith would not fail. We go through challenges in life. Your faith gets stretched. Don't lose confidence in God. It's good to have your faith stretched. It's good, always good to call on the Lord. And also, it's good to know that he is praying for you. This morning, remember that verse in Hebrews. He ever liveth to make intercession for you and for me. Our time is gone. I'll close in prayer. Interesting psalm. It's a morning prayer. It can be a model for us to read a psalm and pray for the Lord to sustain us. Thank Him for being with you. Thank Him for caring for you. Don't waver in your faith or trust in the Lord. Thank you for this time we've had this morning, dear Lord. We thank you for this psalm, and may we just make application in our own life as we read the Word of God, and let us just grow in our faith each day. Help those that are struggling right now, and let them just remember how much you love them, how much you care for them, that you will provide for their need, and let them grow in the things that you would want them to know according to your blessed and most perfect will in their lives. We pray now in Jesus' name, amen.